Welcome to the May Podcast. This month, we're spotlighting the National Wheat Yield Contest, an exciting annual competition hosted by the National Wheat Foundation. The contest gives wheat growers across the country a chance to showcase their skills and compete for top honors in wheat production and quality. Dennis Shanehills, the newest officer at the National Wheat Foundation, takes us behind the scenes of this year's contest and shares insights into the foundation's ongoing efforts in grower education and outreach. I would like to welcome Danny Shanehills to the podcast. Dennis and his wife, Pam, live and farm near Kremlin, Oklahoma, where they work alongside their son, Trev, to manage a diversified operation producing wheat, soybeans, corn, alfalfa, grass hay, and cattle. Beyond the farm, Dennis brings a strong background in agricultural finance, having served as an ag lender in both the Federal Land Bank Association of Enid and the Farm Credit Association. He holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Economics from Oklahoma State University. Dennis is also a dedicated advocate and leader in the agriculture community. He has held numerous roles within the Oklahoma Wheat Growers Association and currently serves as its president. On the national level, he's served on the NOG Board of Directors, including terms as chair of both the Environmental Research Committee and the Nominating Committee. Most recently, he was appointed to the board of the National Wheat Foundation. We are honored to have Dennis join us on the podcast. How are you today, Dennis?
Well, good morning, Elizabeth. I'm doing well. It's going to be a beautiful sunny day, looks like, here in Oklahoma. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I wish it's a little rainy here in DC, so I'm hoping for more sun, but I'm glad things are the weather is good over there.
Well, we're enjoying it. We are having some really good weather. So
earlier this year, you were appointed to the board of the National Wheat Foundation. What motivated you to take this role, and what are you most excited as you begin this new chapter?
Well, I've always been interested in the wheat. You know, that's kind of been my passion for, you know, I got that through my family, through my dad, who served in Oklahoma in the wheat industry. And last summer, I got a call from one of the board members asking me if I would consider running for the Wheat Foundation board. And I talked it over with Pam, and I told her I wouldn't take on any more new jobs unless I've talked with her and got her approval first. So we talked it over, and we agreed that this was consistent with the things that we work toward, you know, improving wheat and being the educator for wheat. And so I agreed to do that. And of course, I had known Gary Broyles and Scott Brown and Ben Schultz, all, and Ken Wood, all those producers, you know. And I got to, it's been really pleasant to, once I got elected, I got to have got to know the industry guys also. They are top notch. So I am really proud to be a member and be associated with that group of men, because they're all very talented and pretty awesome.
Well, I know Ann is very excited to have you on the board, and we will definitely miss you on the NOG board of directors, but obviously you will still be around all of our events and stuff with being on the National Wheat Foundation. So one of the foundation's key initiatives is the National Wheat Yield Contest. Can you give our listeners an overview of the contest, how it works, and why it's such an important opportunity for wheat growers?
Well, the National Wheat Contest is, believe it or not, it's in its 10th year. And I was riding in the Kansas Wheat Quality Tour last week with Ann Osborne, you know, our project manager for, and she runs the Wheat Yield Contest. And Ann was fielding calls left and right, because the winter wheat deadline for the entries was last Thursday. And so she was pretty busy. So there's a winter wheat division and a spring wheat division. And so they not only measure yield, but we measure the quality of the grain. And that is a key component, because it gives our millers a better idea of the product that they're using to bake, to provide bakeries with. And And it provides and gives us an enhanced idea of the finished product that comes out of the bakery that's put on the shelf for our families to consume. And it's on top of that, the growers who enter the contest are reporting yield increases on their whole farms. And are trying out new product production practices on a smaller scale, and we get to see we as other growers get to see those new practices how they affect the yield and the quality of the grain. So it's really kind of neat to see that the growers who win in the national placing are awarded a trip to the Commodity Classic farm show, and where we have a banquet and award and recognize the winners. And that is really neat because we get to talk to those guys point blank, and they get to share with all of us what's going on on their property, on their farm. One example this year was there was a winner from New Jersey who was interested in the narrow farms row spacing for when he planted, and several Michigan guys were getting top yields with a 5-inch row spacing, and so we were all kind of interested in hearing about that. And so yeah, the quality component of the contest was added several years ago, and that's just better for everyone. And the quality, and we give awards based on yield as well as quality. And so, it's a great way to educate producers of what's going on in the wheat world.
Well, thank you for going over that. I think another important thing to highlight too is that Anne, the NWF project manager, she has more than doubled the participation in this contest. So that has been great to see just more and more growers again. Like I feel like throughout this process, like everyone gets to learn, and especially in encouraging more people to not only just increase their yields, but to increase the quality of their crops.
Well, that's true, Elizabeth. And you to add to top off that our discussion about that, the winter wheat entry deadline was last week, as I mentioned, and we had a call yesterday morning. The foundation board did, and Ann reported to us that there were 364, I believe, entries on the winter wheat contest, and so. That doesn't count the spring wheat contest, and that deadline will be, I believe, August 1st. And so, usually we'll have, maybe over 500 entries to the contest, counting both categories, winter and spring. So, we're looking forward to see how that gets taken care of. So.
So for growers who are interested in learning more and getting involved with, the National Wheat Foundation and its programs, where should they start?
Well, we have a website that Ann has really worked with and tweaked, and it's really easy to work with and to create your own account, set up and in make your own entries. Website is for the National Wheat Foundation is www.wheatfoundation.org. And there you can find all the information about the leadership programs, the yield contest, the farm tours that we also offer, and other educational programs that the National Wheat Foundation and carries out and that Ann directs. So that's www.wheatfoundation.org, and it's easy to move around in and check out. So.
Great. I will make sure to link all that information in the bio for this podcast. And again, I just want to remind our listeners that the deadline for the spring wheat for the spring wheat entries is August 1st for the 2025 National Wheat Yield Contest. So changing topics a little bit, you recently participated in the Wheat Quality Council's annual winter wheat tour in Kansas. Could you share some highlights from the tour and any key takeaways that you brought back?
Well, I was the representative for from the Oklahoma Wheat Commission, and I got to this is the third year I've participated in the Kansas Wheat Quality Tour. And so I left home on Monday morning and drove to Manhattan, Kansas. And at 5 o'clock, we all met and got together. And with all the participants, there were something like 80 or 90 participants. I think we had 17 or 18 cars that participated over six routes throughout Kansas. But Monday afternoon, we got to speak with experts from Kansas State University, and they were in a wheat quality council, and they taught us how and showed us how to measure the yield and utilize the information that they gave us. And then we were divided up into day one routes for the next day, and we all went to dinner. And so the next morning we got up on Tuesday and headed towards Colby, Kansas, on day two, or on day one of the actual tour. And we stopped, my car stopped 12 different fields and checked things out. We got to talk to one producer who pulled up behind us and wondered what in the world we were doing. And we told him, and he told us about, he had a really good stand of wheat too. And he told us about how how he got everything planted, and then it just quit raining, and wondered if it was ever going to rain. Luckily, they had a really nice snow cover during the cold weather over the winter time. So we got to Colby, and we had a dinner that evening and reported from all the stops that all the vehicles made. Next morning we got up and did it all over again with a different group. I had a different group of people in my car. On day two, we went to drop down into Oklahoma out of Liberal, south of Liberal, Kansas, drove all the way across northern Oklahoma, not got within 8 miles of my home, and but we checked another 12 fields for yields. And we ended up in Wichita, Kansas, and everybody, we got that information given to us. So on day one, we ended up with a 50 bushel average over the all the 17 or 18 vehicles, and I think we had 196 stops. Day two, day one was mostly northern Kansas and southern Nebraska. Day two was mainly southern Kansas and northern Oklahoma. And we ended up with a 53 bushel car average over 211 stops that day. So we gave a report, gave our reports that evening in Wichita. And then the next morning we loaded up again and changed teams again and headed towards Manhattan. And we had we made a quite a few more stops, and we ended up overall with a 53 bushel average estimate for the whole state of Kansas. So that was very interesting how that all played out. And U.S. Wheat had sponsored six foreign millers from South America and Central America. And I had one of those foreign millers in my car each day. First day, I had a miller from Venezuela. Second day, one from Costa Rica. And the third day, I had a young lady who was from Honduras and was in charge of several mills there. It was really interesting to get to visit with them. So, 3 days we spent driving all over Kansas and checking wheat fields with a getting a gathering an estimate and supposedly of 53 bushel. Now that does not count the fact that we saw an awful lot of disease, mainly wheat streak mosaic. Saw a lot of drought damage, some freeze damage, some dead heads that had emerged. We even saw some dead stalks. It was that disease that called wheat streak mosaic is a virus. It's can't be treated. There's no chemical for it. So we don't know what's going to happen to that 53 bushel yield that we think is out thought was out there at the time we went through those fields last week. Until the combines leave, we'll find out how what effect it had. And it surely appears that it's going to be significant because there was a lot of disease. We saw it every day, and in most of the fields that we walked into. So unfortunately, we'll see how that turns out once we get to harvest data.
Well, thank you for going over that. That definitely sounds like a very busy week. At the Noggin NWF, we always encourage growers to be going on the wheat quality councils, wheat tours. I think there's just so much to learn, and it's always good to be, to get like to learn firsthand in the fields. So,
I got to spend some time with Ann Osborne. She was on the wheat tour, as was Brian Walker, who's also one of my board members on the Wheat Foundation. And Brian's a wheat industry guy, a milling background, a really sharp dude. I really like him, and we got to visit a little bit too. So, but there was a lot of industry people, a lot of people from the milling side on that tour. So I hope you get to go on it sometime. It's pretty interesting.
no, definitely. I'm aiming to go on one of those tours either this year or next year. So, anyway, I would just like to thank you, for taking the time to speak with me. And I know we will definitely miss you on Nog, and we have been so thankful for your service at Nog, but are looking forward to you serving on the National Wheat Foundation.
Well, I sure have made a lot of friends on Nog, and like I said, most of those guys that those producers that I serve with on the Wheat Foundation board with now all came off the Nog board, and so Nog is our sole member, so that's we're joined at the hip, the Wheat Foundation and Nog. So, and I always look forward to the meetings, and I don't plan on going too far, so I always hope to get to see everybody whenever we get together. So it's been a pleasure serving on the Nog board and with some of the most talented and wonderful people I've met are on that Nog board, and I really have a lot of appreciation for those people.
Thank you for listening to the May podcast. Make sure to keep up with us on social media and our website at wheatworld.org.